What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of Soccer for Dummies. I am your host, Scott Lewis. While we're at it, man, please press subscribe to this YouTube channel. It's my YouTube channel. The new name for it is Scott's World of Sports. Now, that was a tentative title. It's a very basic name, but sometimes basic is good, and I'm going to roll with that. So welcome to Scott's World of Sports, where we talk about everything in the sports world. We talk NBA. We talk Major League Baseball. We talk soccer, obviously. And, of course, the number one thing we talk here is the NFL and mainly the Chicago Bears. But it's Bears offseason. The draft is next week. We'll have some draft content. I haven't figured out whether or not I'm going to be at Halas Hall next week. So stay tuned for that. Regardless, we're going to do a 7-8 in Halas once the draft is done. But please subscribe, man. We're talking about everything under the job, anybody who has subscribed. And please spread the word. Press the subscription button right now. And if you're too lazy to press that button, you can just take your phone and scan the QR code right here up on the screen. So you can do that. And also subscribe to the Barber's Chair Network Patreon. That link is also in the description box. And the link and the QR code is also on the screen. Everything Barber's Chair content-wise goes on the Patreon first. We also have Patreon exclusives. So if you listen and watch, I'm not going to hold you each and every Friday on HMD Media. If you want the audio to that, you need to subscribe to the Patreon. I'm no longer putting the audio of the Patreon, the audio of the live show on the regular feeds anymore. So subscribe to Patreon to either the $5 I'm not going to hold you tier or the $10 I'm not going to hold you all access to. You get literally everything. You get the segments that I do from the shows days in advance. In fact, I did an NBA playoff preview with the homie Pavi, which is on the Patreon right now. It'll be on free feeds on Friday, but it's been up for 2 days. So if you want to see our thoughts on it early, go over there, man. So, and I just want to give a shout out to each and every one of you who have been supporting this podcast here, Soccer for Dummies. It's kind of a passion project of mine. I've really been a big fan of the sport of soccer, or I call it football, but I know Americans, we like to call it soccer. But whatever you want to call it, I appreciate y'all for supporting these first three episodes we've done, all the different shorts I've done as well. Shout out to my first two guests on the podcast, the homie Gabby from Shirtless Plantain Show, my homie White Gold. So we had some good conversations on both. No guests today. This is not going to be a super long pod. Today I want to recap the last 2 days of the Champions League. So we are in Europe's Final Four. Four teams have advanced and are one step closer to the Champions League final, which is on May 31st, 2026 in Budapest. So the four teams that are left, of course, my team, the Arsenal Football Club. Atletico Madrid, Diego Simeone's boys are back in there. And on the other side of the bracket, you got the reigning European champions themselves, PSG, trying to win back-to-back for the first time since that 17-18 Real Madrid squad. And then you've got Harry Kane, Michael Olise, Luis Diaz, and Vincent Kompany's boys over there in Bayern Munich. Very great game. Very fun game against Real Madrid yesterday. They are in the Final Four as well. To me, these are the tale of two different games. Now, we make caramball jokes and things like that when it comes to Atleti and Arsenal with Arteta and Simeone. But honestly, I think it's going to be a different tie than people were expecting. But we'll get into my thoughts on that later on in the show. But I want to start with Arsenal and Sporting yesterday. So, Arsenal fans, it's time to have a talk. We really need to have a talk. This has been a weird space for Arsenal fans. Now, I've only gotten a little bit of posts of what the space is like on Twitter because, like I said, I have deleted all social media apps off my phone outside of Instagram. I keep Instagram because, honestly, Instagram doesn't annoy me. Some people get annoyed by Instagram. I don't. Instagram is cool. I love Instagram and the reels. I keep it for the reels. But I do not have Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Facebook, TikTok, none of those apps on my phone. So when you see me tweeting, which I still tweet from time to time, I tweet a couple times a day, I'm tweeting from my computer, from my laptop, from my Mac, okay? So it's not on my phone. So if I don't engage as much as I used to, it's because I don't see my mentions as frequently as I want to. I digress. Point is, if you would have told Arsenal fans back in August, let's just say a week before the season started, or even the day after we won 1-0 against Manchester United at Old Trafford. It was the first time we won at Old Trafford in years. wasn't the best game, but we scammed a win. Ricardo Calafiore had her one again. If you would have told me the morning after, with no context, that when you wake up on Thursday, April 16, 2026, Arsenal are going to be 6 points clear in the Premier League with a big match coming up at the Etihad against Manchester City, which might settle who's going to be the Premier League champion. You are going to the Champions League final. Not Champions League final. You're going to the Champions League semifinal back-to-back years for the first time in the club's history. Would you take that? Every last one of us would have said yes. But this is also why context is key. You don't know anything else that's going on in the story. I want to say this about the fans and just the mood of the morale of the fan base. And it's not just on the internet now. It's not just on the internet. Any Arsenal fans that I've run into, any Arsenal fans I know personally, I mean, you can even see Arsenal legends like Ian Wright and Thierry Henry. It's getting to them. Now, Thierry, we all know Thierry's very intense. He kind of reminds me of Kobe a little bit, where he's just all about the final product. You know what I'm saying? Thierry has been consistent all year. Like, I believe they'll win it when I see it, which is cool. But you can tell a little bit in his voice yesterday, maybe it was just me when watching the Champions League postgame, where he knows that this kind of play isn't acceptable, but they're finding ways. So you can tell it was a little irritating him a little bit. And Wrighty just completely lost it on the overlap. I mean, he sounded like a regular fan. So it's getting to everybody. And I'm not going to sit up here and act like I'm just this super calm guy going through this. I'm not. I just am. I try to be positive, and I have watched too many. I watch sports for too long. I watch how agonizing it is for championship droughts, no matter what the sport's in. 9 times out of 10, when you're going on a drought of at least 20 years or more, it doesn't end easily. Now, I know you can say stuff like, oh, look at Liverpool, the two Premier League titles they won, they ran away with the league. Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, look at the stuff that they had to go through before. It was multiple failed title attempts, you know what I'm saying, and things like that, always coming second to City, even before Klopp got there. They had to deal with a lot. You know, we can go through the Cubs, you know, what they had to go through, the 04 Sox, Red Sox. We could be here all day naming droughts. So that's what I'm holding on to, but I'll be a lie if I say I'm confident. I'm not confident. I am riding off vibes these next 6 weeks. I am living off blind optimism and hope more than what my eyes are telling me. What my eyes are telling me is that these boys are exhausted. They're on E. They're on E. They're on E. And, you know, a lot of people was wondering about, you know, Arteta pulling people out of, you know, international duty is not fair. And by the way, they're only saying that because that's Arteta, but that's neither here nor there. But also proves how stupid they are, because these guys have real injuries. Bukayo Saka has not been seen since the Carabao Cup final. Jurrien Timber has not been seen since the game, since the first half against Bayer Leverkusen in the second leg of the quarterfinal Champions League. Ricardo Calafiore came back for a game. Now he has some mysterious injury. We don't know what that is. Martin Odegaard has been the same thing all year. I am one of Martin Odegaard's biggest critics, but I just find it very hard for me to go all the way in on him when he hasn't been consistently playing. It's like he plays a couple games, then you don't see him for a couple months. Plays a couple games, don't see him for a couple months. And that's what it's been. We haven't seen him in a week since the first leg against Sporting, and we don't know when he's coming back. Now, Mikel shed a little bit of light on a couple days ago saying that, you know, Bukayo has an Achilles problem, which scares me. This is my hot take. Obviously, I have no type of sources on this. All my sources are NFL. I don't even know anybody who works in footy media, Premier League media. I don't know one person who does. So, but my guess from being in sports media, even on the American side, I don't think we're going to see Bukayo Saka the rest of the season. I don't mean to sound the alarm, but from the way people talking, you know, from the way that, you know, you don't even see him. At least at the games yesterday, you saw Jurrien Timber was there. Calafiore was there. Odegaard's been with the team. Mikel Merino, you know, I thought it was interesting that Arteta opened up a slight door that he could come back. I still wouldn't rely on that. But Mikel Merino, you don't even see Bukayo. You haven't seen Bukayo since he reported to international duty, and then they told his ass to go back home. So, and it's an Achilles. I know we need him back, and I know Bukayo has not been great this year. I think he's been very mediocre, but I think it's very evident now that the reason for that is just he has these injuries. We can go into him being running to the ground over the last couple of years. That's really a moot point right now. It doesn't matter at this particular point. as much as we need him back, as much as I want him back, it's not worth risking his career. Achilles are hard to come back from, bro. Very hard to come back for. He would be out all of next season, essentially, if you pushed it. So I'll say this. There was an article that came out this morning. I forgot who wrote it. But they said that he's facing an uphill battle to play on Sunday. If I had to put two and two together, I don't think he's going to be on the squad. And I think if he is not on the squad on Sunday, we're not going to see him for the rest of the regular season. That's just my opinion. Massive blow. It's good to hear that Nonny Madueke's knee injury isn't as bad as people thought, but he's running on a dead leg is what they said. What goes into me saying these boys are tired. I'm not confident that they can get over the line. I'm just really not. I'm hoping that they do. But what I'm seeing right now is like a car trying to get past the finish line, and it's breaking down. You know, and I don't want to say this Sunday is a title decider. I'm not. Well, it depends. So this is how I view this. And we're going to get this is all kind of one big point talking about. There's not really that much to talk about yesterday. But what I'm going to talk about from yesterday goes into this my preview of City. If Arsenal win that game, right, I believe the title is theirs. Champagne on ice. I think the title is there if they win on Sunday. If they draw, I don't think it's over yet because City can still play Burnley next Wednesday, win, boom, leads down to three. And then you got to try to win against a team that's very hard to win with. We always have problems with Newcastle. So it's not over even if we get a tie. You just kind of maintain a bigger lead for a couple, you know, for the time being. But if City win, and City need to win. So City wins. I don't say it automatically gives them a title, but it puts them in the driver's seat, obviously. And I would give them an 80% chance of being able to hold on. And that will require Arsenal, in my opinion, you'd have to go undefeated the last five games. And watching how they've been playing the last month, or even if you want to go even further, the entire calendar year 2026, I am not confident that they can go undefeated and then hope City drops a point or two, which I still think City could. City has a very tough schedule. This is not easy. They got us at home, which is not going to be easy for them. You know, Burnley on the road should be a win. Like, they should easily win that, especially the way they're playing. But they've dropped points to relegation sides on the road this year. So, you know, then after that, they've got to play at Everton. Everton fighting for a European spot right now. That's not going to be easy. They've got Brentford at home. Same situation. They got to go to play Bournemouth. On the road, you know, Bournemouth don't win, but they also don't lose a lot of times. That's going to be a tough game. Then you've got Villa last week of the season. Of course, they got that game in hand at home against Palace, and Palace has been a bogey team for them. So this is not by any stretch of the means over if they win on Sunday. I just think it puts even more pressure on Arsenal, and for a team that I don't know how mentally they respond from losing to City twice in a six-week span. I don't know how they bounce back from that. So that's why I think it's big. This is the biggest Arsenal game in 20 years. This is the biggest game they've had since they played Barcelona in 2006 Champions League final. If you ask me today, I'm just hoping for a draw. I'm being completely honest with y'all. I'm hoping for a draw because we're so beat up. We're just not playing well. If I could take any positive from yesterday's game, it'd be two positives that I'll take. One, the midfield looks so much better when Eze started. Now, if you think about it, we ain't had Eze in really either of the two matchups. And I say either because he came off the bench in the first one. His assists, and this is kind of goes to my point. When he came onto the bench, so when we played them in September, I think this is like his second or third match with Arsenal. So he wasn't starting yet. So him and Bakayo came on with like 30 minutes left of the game, something like that. And he hit this. He gave the assist to Martinelli, which tied the game. We went on with a draw. But he hasn't played he hasn't started a game against City. He was out with injury in the Carabao Cup final. So I think that's a big thing that can help the midfield domination that we saw at Wembley Stadium last month. And the other thing I'll have to say that I think the most positive thing yesterday, defensively, that is the Arsenal that we need to see for the rest of the season. That's what we just need. Obviously, it helps a lot when you got Piero and Capier was back. He was fantastic. Mosquera, I mean, what can I say about this dude, bro? It was an absolute robbery, you know, when we got him this summer. And he's just been great. No offense to Ben White. Ben White just doesn't have it in his tank anymore to be defensively where we needed to be. It made too many mistakes in the game against City in the Carabao Cup. Two mistakes in the FA quarterfinal exit to Southampton. You know, made too many mistakes against Bournemouth. You can't afford that. Mosquera, he's not the best in build-up, obviously, but he's what you need defensively, and we all know Gabriel and Saliba will do what they do. And I thought Raya, you know, and this is one thing. People was going in on Raya yesterday, bro. It's very tough to be a keeper. He has 13 clean sheets in 18, you know, Champions League games, or how many we played. I don't even know if it was 18, but 13 clean sheets. So it's, yeah, man, it's, I'll say this. We're going to have to 0-4 Pistons this thing. Like, we're going to have to 0-4 Pistons this thing. We're going to have to 2015 Broncos this thing. If you are an Arsenal fan and you're watching this and you just think we just going to magically wake up one day and be champagne football, it's just not going to happen. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen, especially now with the injuries that we've got right now. So, for me, I'm hoping for a draw. If you ask me personally, like, if somebody put a gun to my head, or not even a gun in my head, they might be too aggressive. Somebody told me, I will give you $1 billion if you get this right. What's the score on Sunday? And if somebody asked me, I would say City 1-0. And I hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong. I'm rooting for the boys. And I do not think this is over, even if they do lose. It's going to get extremely more tough. But that's just what I think. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. This is a big moment. I don't really agree with Gary Neville a lot. Definitely don't agree with Paul Scholes, any of them old United dudes. But I think all three of them said something on the overlap, which I agree with. You shouldn't look at this as a week where, like, oh, we could fail. You should look at this as your opportunity to become champions, right? And you eventually got to knock out the bully on the block. Eventually you got to. The Invincibles, all the Arsenal Wenger teams, they knocked out United. You know what I'm saying? When Chelsea won, they knocked out United. They knocked out Arsenal. You eventually got to knock the bully out, bro. And that's just why I look at it, man. They got to find something in themselves. When your game isn't clicking, when you're tired in the business end of the season, or if it's playoffs in American sport, you got to find something in you to just get over the line. And Arsenal's got to find a way to do it. This is a massive, massive game on Sunday. So we'll see how it goes. I am not looking forward to it. I promise. I mean, I haven't been looking forward to any Arsenal match. It's been like I said on my Instagram yesterday, watching Arsenal has been like open heart surgery with no anesthesia. But we got to back them, man. Got to back them. I'll say this before I move on. Arsenal fans, man, just try a little bit to get it together. That's all I ask for you, because, you know, I like to look at positives. I know everybody don't do that. I don't really associate people who don't do that. You're not going to bring my energy down. But I don't, for Arsenal fans, people who've been Arsenal fans longer than me, because this championship, if we do win it, it's going to mean way more to you than it is going to mean way more to you than it is to me. It's going to mean a lot to me. I'm going to be ecstatic. You know, I already got my bank account set for championship merch if we get to that point. But for lifelong fans, I would just, and I say this from experience, watching my teams win multiple championships, you can't take this stuff for granted. As stressful as it is, think about how happy you will be if this happens. You don't want to look at this and, let's just say, Arsenal do the double. You want to look at this a year from now. Maybe this team isn't as good a year from now. You know, they have the championship hangover, like maybe Liverpool got. And, you know, a lot of the players are knackered from World Cup and things like that. Really no break in the football and schedule. And he was like, man, it was stressful, but it was fun. You know what I'm saying? Try to find some way to enjoy it. That's all. That's just my opinion. But anyway, man, moving on to yesterday, the Bayern Madrid game, which I really wanted to watch. I don't know why. I don't know who does UEFA scheduling. Now, obviously, there's different time zones and things like that. But I don't understand why these games come on at the same time. Like, have one come on earlier than the other. You know what I'm saying? The games start 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Have the first game come on earlier. Like, do a noon, do a 1 Eastern kickoff time. You know what I'm saying? So we can watch both of these games. I was very tempted to go on the Paramount Plus multicast to watch both. But I'm just somebody, I can't watch other teams when my team is playing. I just can't. Like, even when I'm doing Bears games, like, we'll have Red Zone up in the press box, but I'm not paying attention to it at all. I'm looking at what's going on in the field. So, but that was the complete opposite of this game. That was champagne football. It was some bad defending in there as well. Madrid, I'll say this about Madrid, man. They're probably going to go trophyless for the second year in a row. I think I want to say that Barcelona got the league wrapped up. We still got another El Clasico to play. And I think now that they're out of the other competitions, that they're really going to really try to lock down and, you know, make this La Liga race a little more closer than it is right now. But their team, they're not a team. They're a team of individual talent, individual quality. The individual quality on this team is very high. You got a guy who I think is the best footballer in the world. I know a lot of people think Lamine Yamal. Not going to argue with that. I think it's Kylian Mbappe. I don't buy the bullshit narrative that you can't win anything with Kylian Mbappe. I just don't buy that. You got Vinicius Jr. He's incredible. You got, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Jude Bellingham. You got these individual talents, but this is not a team. And I think the only way for this team to go forward is they're going to have to get back to real squad building and get rid of this Galactico shit that they've been trying to do. Because when you got a team like Bayern Munich, who is more of a balanced team, now granted, they've got an incredible front line, maybe the best front line in Europe, but they're a balanced squad. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's just really what's the difference in these two games. And we can argue about the second yellow that went to a red card, that sub, that got Camavinga off. I probably would have let it rock, but you know the rules. You can't pick up the ball and then walk with it for as long as Camavinga did. So it kind of is what it is. But even regardless, that last kick that Luis Diaz hit, that was a game winner. You can't give them that much space. So very big loss for Bayern. Very competitive loss. But they've got some things to fix up. And I'm really interested to see how the rest of the season is. I think their manager, you know, I don't really think that he was going to be long-term manager anyway. And I really think if you're a manager, period, getting the Real Madrid job is just kind of like, I don't see any upside to it. Like, I don't see no upside to it whatsoever. They're definitely going to be looking for somebody else. But Bayern Munich, man, they have been, you know, we can sit up here and talk about how maybe they play in the Farmers League or the Bundesliga is the Bayern Munich Invitational every year. But this is a balanced team, man. And everything about it is a good, well-oiled machine. Vincent Kompany has been a great manager. And I mean, they're the favorite right now. They have to be the favorite. If you look at the rest of the bracket, I don't see how you don't pick them as a favorite. But as good as they are, as we've seen over these last two legs, they will give you a chance. They will 100% give you a chance, which is why I think this tie against PSG is going to really, really be very, very fun, very, very competitive. I cannot wait to watch that. So this is my final thoughts on this bracket. Atleti, man, Atleti. I did not pick them to beat Barcelona. I thought Barcelona was going to win, and Barcelona put up a good fight in that second leg. Lamine Yamal backed up the talking and, you know, was very, very important in that comeback. And, you know, would have been 3-3 on aggregate if they weren't offsides. But it just really come down to you're not winning a Champions League with the way that Hansi Flick plays football. You're just not. The high line is way too high, and it backfired on them. Atleti. We beat them 4-0 in October when I went and watched the highlights again this morning. And it's just crazy how much more refreshed we look. Obviously, it was October. We were only 2 months of the season. Now everybody got dead legs. It's much different. But that's a different team. Atletico Madrid is a different team now than they were in October. And I think Arsenal's got to be aware of that. And hopefully we can get some guys back for that tie. The good thing is that game is not basically for another 2 weeks, so they can just focus on the league with these next two games against City and against Newcastle. But I love our chances. It wouldn't any type of final wouldn't surprise me. Like if it's Atleti PSG, if it's Atleti Bayern, or it's Arsenal PSG, Arsenal Bayern, wouldn't surprise me. I think both of these series are toss ups. Ultimately, my prediction, I think Arsenal will edge it. I do think we will nick it very, very close. I think it's going to be a stressful series. Even though we won 4-0, if you go back and watch that game, that was a very competitive, stressful game for like the first 60 minutes. And then, you know, once Big Gabby hit the header on the set piece, the floodgates opened before you know it. Miles Lewis Skelly to Martinelli. Goal. Boom. Victor Gyökeres, back-to-back goal. So, I'm not going to expect that. I'm pretty sure Simeone is going to have a much different game plan than he did 6 months ago because this is a different Arsenal than it was 6 months ago. But I love our chance in that one. I do think we advance. I think we advance to Budapest, and I think we will be playing. Oh, man, this is going to be a tough one. I have gone back and forth all morning with who I think is going to win between Bayern and PSG, and I might change my mind three more times before Tuesday, April 28th. when the first game is at the Parc de France. I'm going to say Bayern today. I think that Bayern has had the more difficult role, you know, having to play Madrid, having to play Manchester City. And that's not to say that PSG had an easy role, but, you know, look at how Liverpool and Chelsea have been this year. I mean, I'm pretty sure you'd rather play them. And the way they just obviously dominated both of them and having to come through the playoffs to get there. So it wouldn't surprise me either way. I do believe that PSG has a better defense. I think PSG has a better midfield, but they're just, I think the X factor will be the fact that the second game will be in Munich. And I like the front line a little bit better. You know, you got Kvaratskhelia, you got Dembele, you got Doué. Of course, obviously you got Barcola come off the bench, things like that. They've got a great, great attacking three. But I think the best attacking three in world football is Harry Kane, Michael Olise, and Luis Diaz. That's just what I think. That's what they've done. And I think that will be the X factor. And I think Bayern will play Arsenal, which is two massive clubs going at it. You know, Bayern trying to win their first Champions League for the first time since COVID 2020. And Arsenal trying to do it for the first time in club history. So that's what I'll think. I'm not going to give my prediction on that, because if it does, if that is the final, we'll talk about that when we talk about it. So, yeah, that's my opinion on everything that's been going on from yesterday's UCL. Massive, massive week in the Premier League this weekend. I mean, massive sports weekend, period. Got the NBA playoffs cracking. Massive games in the Prem. Obviously, the main course is City and Arsenal, but you got the Merseyside Derby. Well, you got Liverpool. You got Everton. That's going to be a big game. You got Manchester United traveling to Stamford Bridge to take on Chelsea. That's a big game for both of them. Spurs. Every Spurs game from here on out is going to be big because of their relegation status. They got to play Brighton. That is not going to be an easy game for them. And now they've got Christian Romero. He's going to be out for the rest of the season. A lot of big matchups. I am personally not looking forward to this weekend. I'm not. I would love to be sitting here on Monday morning when I do the weekend recap, happy about what I witnessed. So I'm praying for a draw. That's all I got, man. So anyway, this has been another edition of Soccer for Dummies. Please subscribe to the YouTube Scott's World of Sports. The NBA playoff preview is on the Patreon right now. You can subscribe to that. Of course, you got the link in the description box and the QR code on the screen if you want to check that out early. If you don't feel like paying money for it, you're just waiting for it to be on the free feed, it'll be on my YouTube channel tomorrow. Obviously, I'm not going to hold you live. It'll be tomorrow at 4 p.m. Central Time. Me and Bang, we'll definitely talk about the playoffs. We'll recap the play-in games. A lot of other stuff that we need to talk about. NFL draft coming up. What's going on with the Bulls situation? So we got a big show on deck tomorrow as well. Of course, follow me at Barb Chair Scott on all social media platforms, man. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all day, and I will holler at y'all tomorrow. I'm up out of here.